Recorded.
Okay. So Shalom Aleichem, everybody, welcome. So as an introduction to this year, I guess I want to give everyone a heads up that this year is the Shemitah year, and we know the halacha that at the end of the year, so as soon as it'll be Shkia of Rosh Hashanah of this coming year, Habo Aleinu L'Toyva, in about 10 months or so. So the halacha is that all loans and debts will be canceled. So we're going to discuss this week. I divided this topic into two shiurim. So this week we're going to discuss how the Shemitah works, how the cancellation of the debts works, what the lumdus behind it is, and what the different ideas behind that is. From a halachic perspective. And then next week in Mitzvah Hashem, we'll discuss the prosbul, how the prosbul works, and what happens if somebody forgets to write a prosbul. So that'll be tonight's topic, the laws of Shemitah. So it says in Parshas Re'eh, Perek Tes Vav Halacha Aleph, so chapter 15, Halacha Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, the Pasuk says, Miket Shevashanim Tasa Shemitah. At the end of 7 years, one should observe Shemitah. So now this is not referring to the laws of the land in Eretz Yisrael, where you're not allowed to plow or to plant or to harvest as an owner. This is talking about the Shemitah's Ksafim. This is talking about the cancellation of the loan. So the Gemara actually has a drasha, Miketz Shevashanim, at the end of 7 years. It means that this halacha, that the loans are triggered, is not triggered until the end of the seventh year. Miketz Shevashanim Tasa Shemitah. So the Pasuk says, V'zeh Dvar HaShemitah, this is the halacha of the Shemitah, the Dvar HaShemitah, Shamot Kol Bal Mashe Yodoy. Anyone who has a loan should be Shamot. He should relinquish the loan, Asher Yashe B'Ri'ehu, that he lent to his friend, Lo Yigois Es Ri'ehu V'yes Echav. He should not approach or press his friend or his brother, ki kara shmita l'Hashem, because we declare it a shmita unto Hashem. So the loans are canceled. The malve, the lender, he can't be yigois. There's a negative commandment, lo yigois. He can't approach, he can't press his friend or his brother. And there's a dvar shmita. This is the matter of shmita. And there's a positive mitzvah, shamot kol bal mashe yado, that anybody who is carrying a loan, any malve, any lender who's carrying a loan, he has to be shamot. He has to relinquish the loan. The pasuk goes on to say, as hanachri tigos, you're allowed to approach a non-Jew. A non-Jew is not subject to the halacha. However, asher yielocho esachicha tashmi yodecha. But whatever you have in your hand from your brother, you have to relinquish, you have to let go. The Gemara in Gittin sort of records a story of how this actually played out and how the two people, the Malva and the Loiva, how the lender and the borrower, how they interacted regarding this halacha. So the Pasuk said, the Gemara says this following. This is the Gemara in Gittin, Lamed Zayin, Amid Beis. Hamachzir choyv l'chaveru b'shvias. If one returns the loan, he brings the money to the malve, and he wants to return his loan, he wants to pay back on the Shemitah year. Why does he want to pay back? Either he's unaware of the halacha, or we'll soon see, he might actually have a mitzvah to attempt to pay back. We're going to talk about that. Hamachzir choyv l'chaver b'shvias, one who is attempting to return the money to his friend on the Shemitah year, tzarech shiyomer loy, so the malve, the lender, is supposed to say, Mishamit ani, that I can't accept the money. The loan is canceled. Mishamit ani, I have to release the loan. V'im omer loy afal pikein, but if the love, if the borrower says, afal pikein, nevertheless, thank you very much for pardoning the loan, but I would like to return the loan anyway. I have a lot of gratitude. You lent me a lot of money. I don't want to take advantage. Even though you're claiming that you want to release the loan, you want to waive the loan, but afal pikein, nevertheless, I want to return the loan. So then the halacha is, yikabel heimenu. Then the malve is allowed to accept the money. He informed the loiva that he's mishamitani, that I have to release you from your debt. However, if the loiva agrees that he would like to return the money, in any case, afa pikein, so yikabel himenu, the malve is allowed to accept the money. Shenemar, because the pasuk says, v'zedvar hashmita. This is the matter of the shmita. So if we look back at the pasuk on the top of the page, v'zedvar hashmita simply translates, this is the matter of the shmita. But the Gemara actually tells us that this is a halacha. Dvar hashmita, that a dibor, the malve is simply required to inform the loive that the loan is cancelled. But if the loive, if the borrower wishes to return the money, the malve is now allowed to accept the money. Zedvar hashmita, this is the word of the shmita. You just have to inform the loive at the end of the shmita year that your loan is cancelled. If the borrower wishes to return the money in any case, the malva, the one who lent the money, is allowed to accept the money. Says the Gemara, Omar Rabba, Rabba says, V'toli lei ad Omar hachi. Now, this is a big question what this means. We'll see there's a machlekes, the Rashi and the Rush. V'toli lei ad Omar hachi. The malva is allowed to hang it over the loiva's head until the loiva says this. In other words, the malva is allowed to pressure the loiva to say that he wants to return the money anyway. It's like a ceremony that the malva says to the loiva, I'm released, I can't accept your money. If the loiva says, but I want to pay you back anyway, the malva is allowed to accept the money. And not only that, toli le ad omar hachi, the malva is allowed to literally to hang the loiva until the loiva agrees to give the money. And we'll see more about that in a moment. Esvei Abaye. Abaye challenges what Rabbi just said. Kishahu noisin loy, when you give him the money, al yoymer b'choyvi ani noisin loch, don't say you're returning it as a debt. Ela yoymer loy shalihen, rather say that it's my money. The loyve accepts the gift, the pardon. It's my money now. Umatana ani noisin loch, but I'm giving it to you as a gift. So the Gemara challenges that the malva can't just accept the money because the loyve has to actually give it as a gift. He's not allowed to return the money in the context of a debt because the debt was canceled. He can only give it as a gift. So the Gemara modifies, Amar Lei, so the Gemara answers, Amar Lei, Rabbi says, Tali Lei Nami Ad Omar Hachi, that the Malva is allowed to hang the Loiva until the Loiva agrees to give it as a gift. Okay, let's go a little bit further. Abba Bar Marsa, there was a man named Abba Bar Marsa, to who Abba Bar Menume, he was one and the same of Abba Bar Menume, Havi Masik Be Rabba Zuze, Havi Masik Be Rabba Zuze, he owed money to Rabba. Aisinu Nele Bishvias, Aisinu Nele Bishvias, he gave it to Rabba on Shemitah, Omra Le, so Rabba said, Mishamet Ani, Rabba said that I cancel the debt. Shaklinu Va'azil, so Marsa Bar, this, Abba Bar Marsa, he took the money and he went home. Asa Abaye, Abaye came, Ashkechei Dehavi Otziv. He saw that Rabba was upset. Omer Lei, Amai Otziv Mar, why are you upset? Omer Lei, Hochei Havi Maisa. This happened, right? This Abba Bar Marsa came to return a lot of money. I went through the procedure. I told Abba Bar Marsa that you're forgiven. It's the Shemitah year. I can no longer collect. It's after the end of Shemitah. I can no longer collect. And Abba Bar Marsa simply took his money and went home. Shaklinu ba'azel, he went home. Why are you upset? Amalei hachi havi maisa, that's what happened. Azel legabe. So Abaye took it upon himself to go to Abba Bar Marsa. Amalei, amtis le zuzi lamar? Did you return the money? Did you bring the money to Rabba? Amalei in. So Abba Bar Marsa says, yes, I brought the money to Rabba. I attempted to return it. Amalei umay omalach. So Abaye prompts Abba Bar Marsa. And what did Rabba say? Amalei mishamatani. So Abba Bar Marsa says, Rabba said that I'm forgiven. He said that he has to cancel the debt, and I'm forgiven. So I went home. Amalei va'amar talei afo pikein. Did you say to him that you want to give him the money in any case? Amalei lo. So Abba Bar Marsa admitted that I took it at face value. I took Rabba's pardon at face value, and I went home with the money. Amalei. So Abaye told Abba Bar Marsa, V'amrit lei afo pikein havi shaklinu minach. But don't you realize that if you would have offered it to him as a gift, Rabba would have taken the money? Hashta mihas antinu nele ve'emalei afo pikein. So right now it behooves you to go back to Rabbah, bring it to him, and say to him that you want to give it back as a gift. Azil, Amtinu Nele, he went and brought it to Rabbah, V'amr Le'afo Pikein, and he said, nevertheless, I accept your pardon, I'm going to give it to you as a gift. Shaklinu Mine, and Rabbah, of course, took the money. Omar, Rabbi said, this Surma Mirabanan, this young student, Abba Bar Marsa, he wasn't thinking. When he took the money home, he wasn't thinking. He didn't realize that the proper thing to do is to return the money as a gift, even though technically it was pardoned. So we see from the Gemara here that although the Malva has a mitzvah to say Shamatani, that I'm pardoned, the loive, the proper thing to do is for the loive to say, I accept your pardon, I realize I don't have to return the money, in accordance with the laws of Shemitah, the money is now mine, we want to observe the laws of Shemitah's Ksafim, however, afo pikein, I'm going to give it to you as a gift. Incidentally, the Derech Emunah, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, in item Gimel, Rav Chaim Kanievsky in Peretz Hilchos Shemitah, Rav Chaim Kanievsky Shlita, he wrote a sefer called Derech Emunah. It's patterned after the Mishnah Brura, and he wrote it on the Rambam. So in Hilchos Shemitah and Yovel, in the Tzion Halacha, which is like the Sharat Tzion of the Mishnah Brura, Shin Samach Vav, he brings a story of the Chazan Ish. The Chazan Ish once attempted to return money to a Malveh after Shemitah, and the Malveh Taka said Mishamet Ani. The Malva was meichel the money, so the Chazan Ish took the money home, and he did not say afal pike. The Chazan Ish acted like Abba Bar Marsa. When the Chazan Ish was questioned, why didn't you return the money as a gift and say afal pike? The Chazan Ish answered, ki hikir boy shevetzoynu lekayin mitzvah shmitas ksafim, because I recognized that this Malva sincerely wanted to be mekayin the mitzvah of Shemitah's Ksafim. He actually wanted to be Meichel the money, and he wanted to actually fulfill the mitzvah of canceling a loan and not accepting the money even as a gift. So the rule is that the loive, the borrower, is supposed to offer the money as a gift in lieu of the fact that it's a chayv, even though you were Meichel, I want to give you the money as a gift. But you could have an exception. If the loive truly sees that the malva wants to be mekayim the mitzvah, then the halacha is that the loive is allowed to keep the money, like the Chazan Ish did, in order to teach us that halacha. Now, the Rosh in Gittin, Perek Dalet, Simen Yud Tes, he brings the Gemara, and he explains the Gemara. Tnan Hasam, he brings the Mishnah, Hamach Zechoy B'Shvias, if somebody returns money to someone on Shemitah. Now, the Mishnah seems to say on Shemitah itself, but the Rosh explains that it means after Shemitah, because the Shemitah doesn't cancel the loan until the end of the Shemitah year, Erev Rosh Hashanah of the coming year. Kloimar Achar Shvias, after Shemitah. So the halacha is, Tzarech Sheyom Eloi Meshamet Ani, the Malva has to admit that the loan was canceled, Meshama Ani, he has to declare that the loan is canceled. V'yemomer Le'afo Pikein, if the Loive says, nevertheless, I want to return the money, Yikabel Himenu. So he quotes the Gemara that the Malva is allowed to accept the money. Mishum Shenemar, because it says, Zed Dvar HaShemitah, that it's just a Dibur. What does that mean, Zed Dvar HaShemitah? This is the matter of the Shemitah. So the Gemara is making a drasha. Dvar HaShemitah, says the Rosh, Pirish, Kiven the Omar Loi HaDibur, once you said the Dibur, once you made the declaration, Mishametani, you fulfilled the obligation of Shemitah, and now you're allowed to accept the money as a gift because you fulfilled the mitzvah of canceling the loan with the dibor, with the declarance, with the declaration that you are moichel b'chayv. Omar Rabba, the Rosh brings the Gemara. Rabba says, "Tali le ado Omar hachi." You can force the loive to say that I want to give the money as a gift. So now the Rosh quotes the Rashi that I hinted to before. Yitleu ala eitz. The Rosh quotes the Rashi that according to Rashi, the Malva can literally hang the Loive up on a tree. In other words, he can forcefully, in Gavra Yodai, if the Malva prevails, at Shiyomer Afo Pikein, he can physically force the Loive to say Afo Pikein. According to Rashi, we once discussed in a previous shiur a while ago, the concept of Tluya Vizavet. That if I ever want to force you to sell something to me, so I can hang you up on the tree, we're not recommending this, we're not saying that it's ethical. but I can literally hang you up on a tree. I can give you money, and the sale is effective. And the Gemara explains, because if I force you to do something and you agree at the end and you accept money, we assume that the sale is sincere and that it's final. So Rashi applies that halacha here. Tolulei ad omer hachi. Rashi says that the malve is allowed to force the loive to agree to release the money as a gift. Says the Rush, bloi nehira. The Rush says this doesn't seem right. The im kein, because if the malve can anyway force the loive, but tauta Torah Shemitah, you nullified the sense of the Shemitah. What's the point of canceling the loan if you're just going to turn around and force him to give you the money as a gift? So the Rush argues on Rashi, the nearer the farish, so the Rush says it seems proper to explain, you can show the loive that you really are anxious for him to give it as a gift. You can't apply force, according to the Rush. The Rush argues with Rashi. You can't apply force and force the loive to give you the money back as a gift, because then what's the point of the Shemitah? How is the Shemitah canceling the loan if the malve is authorized to force the loive to give the money back as a gift? Rather, all the Gemara means to say, says the Rush, is that you can sort of show the loive that you're waiting for him, you're yoshivu mitzape, you're waiting for him to say those magic words, that I want to give you the money as a gift. So you bring the money to me to return the money. I have to say that the loan is canceled. I'm allowed to say, no. I'm allowed to show you that I'm looking forward to hearing that you want to give the money back as a gift anyway. That's how the Rush explains. V'chein mefarish b'Yushalmi, and so says the Yushalmi, Gabi Hod, the Sami, the Gemara says, Tzarech loymer mishamet ani, Omar Rav Huna, Omar Rav, you can say that you're canceled softly, like you can like mumble the words that, yeah, your loan is canceled, it's Shemitah, but on the other hand, at the same time, your right hand is extended because you want to receive the money. You can make it quite obvious that you're just saying that you want to cancel the loan because that's the halacha, zedvar hashmita. You want to cancel the loan, you want to fulfill the halacha, but you're anxious, you really expect him to say back, afal pike, nevertheless, I'm giving it to you as a matan. So there's a big machlekes here. Rashi says that although the malve is obligated to forego the loan, the malve could turn around and force the loive to agree to give the money back as a gift. The Rush says, what kind of sense does that make? How are you canceling the loan if you're turning around and forcing the loive to give it as a gift? It doesn't make sense. The Rush says that all the Gemara means to say is that you can tell him that he's canceled technically, but you can really show him that you're expecting him to return the money as a gift. You're yoshivu mitzapeh, you're anxiously awaiting for him in order to return the money as a gift. And the Yushalmi says, you can mumble the words mishamit with a safa rafa, you can softly say that you're moichel, however, at the same time, your right hand is extended to accept the money as a gift. So it's a fascinating machlokes. How do we understand Rashi that you can force him to give it as a gift? So Rav Moshe Feinstein in the Igros Moshe, Choshen Mishpat Chelek Dalet Simen Tes Vav, says Rav Moshe Feinstein that the Mishnah says at the end of Maseches Shvias, this is item Hay on the notes, Hamachzer Choyf B'Shvias, one who returns alone after Shemitah as a gift, Ruach Chachamim Noiche Heimenu, says the Gemara, says the Mishnah, Ruach Chachamim Noiche Heimenu, that the spirit of the Chachamim is happy with him. He's fulfilling the spirit of the law. So although you cancel the loan, although the loive is technically exempt, however, Ruach Chachamim Noichemenu, one who returns the loan, the Chachamim are happy with him. So it's mashma, that if he doesn't return the loan, Ein Ruach Chachamim Noichemenu, that the Chachamim are not satisfied with him, they're not happy with him. And says Rav Moshe Feinstein, besides the Mishnah clearly saying that the loive is supposed to return the money, we see that from the story that we learned above. When Abba Bar Marsa did not return the money, he did not say Afo Pikein, Rabba was upset, Rabba was makbid, and Abaye had to go and appease Rabba and get Abba Bar Marsa to return the money. We see from here that it's mutl on the loiva, says Rav Moshe. We see from here that there's really, on some level, an obligation for the loiva to say afo pikein and to give the money back as a gift. Rav Moshe Feinstein says that there's a mitzvah de rabbana. That's how Rav Moshe Feinstein puts it. So the Rush's question against Rashi is what kind of mitzvah of Shemitah is it to cancel the loan if the loiva has to give the money back anyway as a gift? Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, you're right. The deraisa, midoraisa, from the Torah's perspective, the malva has to cancel the loan with no strings attached. However, the Mishnah tells us that the Chachamim are unhappy if the loiva takes advantage of this halacha, and the Rabbanan actually created a mitzvah de Rabbanan, rabbinically. The loiva is responsible to pay back and to say afo pikein. Nobody here, we're fulfilling the law, we're fulfilling the halacha, because I pardoned you and you're giving it as a gift. So clearly we were moichel the halacha, we were moichel the loan. However, there's a mitzvah de Rabbanan to return the money as a gift. So says Rav Moshe Feinstein, if there's a true mitzvah de Rabbanan, so the malveh could force the loiva to fulfill this mitzvah, just as a bezdin would be able to force the loiva to fulfill this mitzvah. So it's true, on a deraisa level, he's exempt, but the Rabbanan obligated him to give the money back anyway as a gift. We want society to run. We want people to be willing to give loans. So there's a rabbinic commandment to return the money, and that explains Rashi's opinion that the Malveh can force the Loiva to give the money back as a gift. And just like the Gemara in Baba Basra says, that when a person has a mitzvah to bring a carbon, or a person has a mitzvah to give a get, under certain circumstances, he's obligated to grant his wife a divorce. If he can't fulfill the obligations of the marriage, under certain circumstances, he's obligated to give his wife a divorce. The halacha is that the bezdin can be koifin oisai achiyim oroitza ani. The bezdin can force him until he agrees to fulfill the mitzvah that's incumbent upon him. Once the Rabbanan place a rabbinic commandment to return the money as a gift in spite of Shemitah, therefore the malveh, not less than anybody else, could force the loiva to fulfill that mitzvah. That explains the shita of Rashi. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein that the Rush also might say that. The Rush might also agree that there's a mitzvah derabbanan. However, in keeping with the deraisa, that the loan was nimchal, the loan was waived, it wouldn't be proper to force him to pay. So the rabbinic mitzvah is of a nature where it's something that the loiva should do on his own. So the way Rav Moshe Feinstein puts it, the shmita, on a deraisa level, the loan was canceled, but the Rabbanan came and made a protection that the loiva should return the money anyway. It's a mitzvah de Rabbanan. Rashi goes so far to say that the malveh, that the lender can force the loiva to fulfill that mitzvah de Rabbanan and to give it back as a gift, so technically he's not giving it back as the loan. And according to the Rush, there is a mitzvah de Rabbanan to return the money, but the Rabbanan never created the mitzvah to such an extent that the loiva can be forced to return. We still want to keep the spirit of the Shemitah that the loan is pardoned, but it is still on some level incumbent on the loiva to give the money back as a gift. Now, we have this idea of not being allowed to pay the money as a choiv, as a debt, but to pay the money as a gift. We have this halacha regarding Schar Shabbos. So, for example, imagine if you hire a babysitter or you hire someone to help you with something on Shabbos. You're not allowed to make a transaction on Shabbos. So the halacha is you can ask somebody to help, and after Shabbos, you can pay, quote-unquote, the babysitter as a gift. It wouldn't be proper that you pay the babysitter
for work,
like she performed on Shabbos, for money that she generated on Shabbos. That would be Schar Shabbos. But you could pay the babysitter, quote-unquote, as a gift. You can gift, as long as you didn't commit yourself, you can give a gift. So we clearly see that there are cases where it's proper to reimburse the person, but to keeping with the technicality of not generating Schar Shabbos, you give the money as a gift, you give the money in a voluntary way. So says Rav Moshe Feinstein that the Rabbanan set up the Shemitah the same way, that midoraisa, the loan is canceled. In keeping with the halacha, you cannot return, you can't ignore the Shemitah, you can't return the money as a choiv. However, says Rav Moshe that there's a mitzvah the Rabbanan to give the money back as a gift, and to Rashi, you can even force the loiva to fulfill that mitzvah de Rabbanan to give the money back as a gift. However, the Rush says you can't go so far as forcing. The halacha does not follow Rashi. You would not be able to force. However, it would behoove the loiva to give it back as a gift. let's get into the crux of how exactly is the loan canceled. What is the gather? What is the nature of Hashmatas Chayiv, of the loan being canceled? So there's a fascinating Mordechai in Maseches Gittin in the back of the Gemara, the Mordechai, an early Rishon. The Mordechai writes the following. I'm not referring to a principle here. I'm referring to how is the loan canceled. We're going to discuss principle next week. We're discussing if one does not write a principle, what's the nature that the loan is canceled. Let's talk about the actual halacha that the loan is canceled. The Mordechai says in Maseches Gittin, Sho'al Rabbeinu Chizkiya Rabbeinu Avigdor HaKohen. So Rabbeinu Chizkiya, a Rishon, I'm not sure who he is, he asked Rabbeinu Avigdor HaKohen, a different Rishon, an early commentary, he asked him the following question, Libi Noikvi, my heart has a doubt, Vinistapakti, I'm not sure, over a certain halacha. Maisa Be'echad Shoyenoishu B'chaveru Mikfar Zayin Shonim. Somebody lent money to someone else 7 years ago. Be'ata toivoi, and now he's claiming the money. Behu meshiv, and the loiva responds, the borrower responds, kikfar hishmitasei, that he was already canceled. The loan was already canceled. Now, the emes, the truth is that the repaskins, that shmita applies nowadays. Okay? So everybody agrees that shmita applies nowadays, rabbinically, the loan is canceled. Now, Bishnas HaShmita, here's the issue. During the year of Shmita, Leibo Elov, he never approached him, Leomer Leimishametani, and they never formally canceled the loan at Sha'avar HaShmita until the Shmita passed. So Shema, perhaps, Kivin Sha'avar HaShmita, since they never formally were moichel the loan, you never came right after Shemitah and I formally was moichel. Suloi mechayiv lahashmit at Shemitah acheres. Perhaps you're not obligated to be moichel until the next Shemitah. So it's very interesting the question that this Rabbeinu Chizkiya asked Rabbeinu Avigdor. Rabbeinu Chizkiya is entertaining the notion. The Gemara tells us that the procedure was, the story is, that the loive, the borrower, takes the money and goes to the malva, and the malva is supposed to formally declare that he's shama. Is this just a formality, or do you literally need the malva to actually be moichel the loan? So Rabbeinu Chizkiya entertains the notion that since they passed Shemitah, and Shemitah was a couple of, let's say Shemitah was 2 years ago, and they never went through this ceremony of being moichel the loan as a result of Shemitah, perhaps the time passed, and now you owe the money. Perhaps it's more than just a formality. Perhaps you actually need that you brought the money to the Malveh during Shemitah, and the Malveh tells him before he got a chance to pay back, it was the end of Shemitah, and he was Moichel. But if you never activated, if you never went through that ceremony during the Shemitah year, perhaps the loan is still in force. You have to have this ceremony on the Shemitah to declare the loan Shamut, and then the loiva either agrees to say apopikein or not. So says Rabbeinu Chizkiya, ulefi ho'inyan nira, it would seem, the shvias afkata de malkahu, that the loan does not require the malva, the lender, to formally forgive it. It's automatically forgiven by the king. Afkata de malka, the king was mafkia the loan. The king is the one who waived the loan. Imagine if the president, Lahavdil, would give forgiveness of the loans. So Hashem, Lahavdil, the Melech Malchei Hamlochim, Afkata the Malka, he already forgave the loan. It's not necessary for the Malveh to formally admit to say Shamatani. Hashem does it. The loan is waived regardless, even if the Malveh never said Mishamatani. Vizu Heishiv Le'inin Hashmatas Ksafim Kibalti, and this is what he answered. That Kibalti, I have a tradition that the Shemitah is Mishametes Me'eleha. The loans of Shemitah are canceled automatically, even if the Malveh did not say Mishametani, even if the Malveh refused to be Moichel the loan, it doesn't matter. It's automatically canceled. So what's this thing about the Malveh saying Mishametani? It's a mitzvah for the Malveh to declare that the loan was waived, Bamira, because as we cited the pasuk, the zed dvar hashmita, this is the matter of shmita. The word dvar is like the word dibor, that you have to speak, you have to declare that the loan is nimchal, is pardoned, is waived. But regardless of whether you declare that the loan is waived or not, the loan is automatically waived. The expression is, it's an afkata de malka. Hashem waived the loan. It's just a formality, it's just a ceremony for the malva to declare the loan waived. Really, Hashem, the Torah already was mafkia. The Torah already canceled the loan. Afkata de malka. Now, if the loiver brings the money back, there's a mitzvah on the malva to declare the money shamat. But the truth is, whether or not the malva agrees to pardon the loan is automatically pardoned. There's an example, the Mordechai brings an example of this at the end of item Vav. There's an example, if a person has a firstborn animal, so we know that the firstborn animal has the kedusha of a bechor, in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, she would offer this firstborn animal, unblemished animal, as a korban. So it's already kadosh meirechem. The baby boy, the male animal that's born to the kosher animal, is automatically kaddish, it's automatically sanctified as a bechor. Nevertheless, the pasuk says, taktish oisai, the pasuk says, you should sanctify it. It's just a dibur, it's just a ceremony to acknowledge the kedusha that it has, to declare the kedusha that it has. But you're not the one who's sanctifying it. The animal is already kaddish automatically, it's just a ceremony. So the Mordechai, he draws this analogy. The loan is canceled regardless. Shomet ani is just an extra mitzvah for the malva to declare the loan nimchal, waived. But nevertheless, the loan is regarded is nimchal mi'elav. Afkat, the malka, the loan is canceled automatically. The minchas chinuch, the minchas chinuch, Michael will look at the other minchas chinuch. The minchas chinuch says that shmita is an afkat of the malka. The Minchas Chinuch says the same thing as the Mordechai, that Shemitah is canceled automatically. And imagine if a child, a cheresh shayta v'katan, a child, a minor, or somebody who's not mentally competent, if they somehow have money, perhaps they inherited money, perhaps they were laborers and they were entitled to the money as to be paid for their work. So in some way or another, a child is the true owner of money. And imagine if this child would lend you the money. So says the Minchas Chinuch, this is an application. The loan is canceled automatically. What does the Minchas Chinuch mean to say? The Minchas Chinuch means to say, if you literally would need the Malveh to declare the loan was Nimchal, if it's actually the Mechila of the Malveh that cancels the loan, so a child doesn't have das, he's below bar mitzvah, he can't affect transactions. A child is lav b'nei mechila, he's lav b'nei mitzvah. A child would not be able to be moichel the loan. But nevertheless, says the Minchas Chinuch, since the loan is canceled automatically, it's just a formality, a mitzvah for the malva to declare it hefker, but really it's already nimchal automatically. So says the Minchas Chinuch, even a child's loan would be canceled. We don't require, it's not necessary for the child to be able to affect the transaction of a pardoning the loan because it happens automatically. The Minchas Chinuch goes on to say that it's obvious to him in item Ches, it's Pashit, says the Minchas Chinuch, that if somebody would claim money that was canceled, even though the Malva never formally pardoned the money, it would be considered to be Gzela. Besides violating the mitzvahs of layigais, of approaching, and besides violating the positive commandment of tashmit yodecha, but it would be gezel. You would be holding ill-gotten money because the loan was canceled automatically and you're holding money that's not yours. If the halacha would be that you have to actually pardon the loan, if I neglected to do that and I collected the money, so at least the money is mine. It's just that I didn't fulfill the mitzvah of Shemitah, but I collected money that was rightfully mine. Says the Minchas Chinuch, besides the prohibition to collect the money and besides the positive commandment to forgo the loan is automatically moichel anyway. So if you would accept the money besides those other violations, it would simply be theft. You're taking money that's not yours because it's an afkata demalk. So we have the Mordechai and we have the Minchas Chinuch both saying that the Shemitah automatically cancels the money and the money is not considered mine anymore. And the Minchas Chinuch goes to the extent of saying that it would be theft if I would take the money that's not mine. Saying Shamat Ani is a mere formality. Even a child's loan is Nimchal. You don't need the Malveh to formally waive the loan. The loan is automatically an Afkata, the Malveh. However, the Sefer Yoreim, Rabbi Elazar Mimitz, the Sefer Yoreim says, not like that. In item tes, says the Sefer Yoreim, Choyv she'over olav shvius. If there's ever a debt that Shemitah went over the loan and canceled the loan, Ein rashoy level akvoy. The Rabbi Elazar Mimitz, he learns the Gemara differently. The loive is not allowed to just forget about the loan. The borrower is not allowed to just pretend the loan never happened. Ela al pi malve. He needs to accept, he needs to receive the mechila of the malve. She calls man shloi hashmitu malve. This is what the Rabbi Elazar Mimitz says. As long as the malve did not forgive the loan, the loive has to pay the malve back. It's just that at the same time, the loive is allowed to bring the malve to a din Torah to get him to forgive the loan. It sounds a little bit bizarre, but the loive has a monetary obligation to pay the malve back until he gets the malve to waive the loan. So the Yoreim, Rabbi Eliezer Mimitz, he's saying quite the opposite of the Mordechai and of the Minchas Chinuch. The Rabbi Eliezer Mimitz says that you need the malve to pardon the loan. It's not an afkata de malka. It doesn't automatically happen. One can wonder what would happen if it's a child's loan, where the child is not of age. He's not capable of pardoning a loan. Maybe Shemitah would not cancel such a loan. Rabbi Eliezer Mimitz says that the loive owes the money until he hears those words, Shamit Ani, from the malve. There's a mitzvah on the malve to say Shamit Ani, to cancel the loan. And the loive can even demand the malve to cancel. But if the malve is not in a position to cancel because the malve is not mentally competent, or the malve is a child, or for whatever reason, perhaps the malve passed away, the loive would owe the money to the estate of the malve because he needs to get that mechila from the malve. The Torah commands the malve to be moichel, and the loive could sort of bring the malve to within Torah to get him to be moichel, but if for whatever reason he never receives that mechila, that pardon, the loive is considered owing the money. That's Rabbi Eliezer Mimitz. So if we look back at the Gemara, what was the story in the Gemara? This Marsa, this Abba Bar Marsa, he brought the money to Rabba. Rabba dutifully said, Shamatani. And then Rabba Bar Marsa went home. Why did Abba Bar Marsa go to return the money? According to the Mordechai, and according to the Sefer of the Minchas Chinuch, it was maybe he didn't realize it was canceled. Maybe he was just being nice. He went to offer the money, but he was under no obligation. The loan was already canceled. According to Rabbi Elazar Mimitz, you have to go through this procedure. You have to offer the money to the malva because you owe the money to the malva, and you have to wait for the malva to be moichel the loan. If for whatever reason the malva was not moichel the loan, either he's mentally incompetent, he's a child, he passed away, you owe the money to the estate because you need that forgiveness from the malva. So it's a machlekes. We paskin that the loan is canceled automatically, like the Mordechai and like the Minchas Chinuch, and even if the malve is a child, the loan would be canceled. Let's look at a Gemara in Maseches Makos. The Gemara starts in Gimel Amud Aleph, Gimel Amud Beis. The Gemara says a fascinating halacha. Om Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. The question is like this. The question is, what happens if you have a loan that's not payable until 10 years from now? So Shemitah is this year, but I don't owe the money anyway this year. The money is not payable. I don't owe the money until next year. You can't collect the money this year anyway. So what's the halacha? On the one hand, the pasuk says, lo yigos. The prohibition is you can't press me for the money. But you can't press me for the money anyway this year because the money is not due until next year. So maybe Shemitah doesn't apply. Shemitah says, don't ask for the money that's owed to you. Maybe this money is not considered owed to you because I don't owe it to you now. It's not owed to you until next year. So maybe the loan missed the cancellation of the Shemitah because it wasn't due. Maybe Shemitah only cancels loans that are due this year. The other way to look at it is, no, I still owe you the money. It's just not payable until next year. But I owe you the money. So the Pasuk is telling us, don't press for the money that the Shemitah passed over when it would be time to press for the money. So that's the question. Does Shemitah cancel loans that are not payable during the Shemitah year that you wouldn't be able to press anyway during the Shemitah year? So there are two opinions in the Gemara. Let's look at the Gemara together. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. This is item Yud Aleph. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Hamalve es chaveru le'eser shanim. If one lends his friend money, a 10-year loan, shviyas misham tasei. Shmita cancels the loan nevertheless. Even though the money is not due this year anyway, Shmita cancels the money nevertheless. Even though now, during the Shmita year, we can't apply the prohibition of, quote, don't press him for the money, because anyway you can't press him for the money. The money is not due until another 10 years. Nevertheless, soif osili deilu, you guys. But eventually, you would be able to press him for the money. So Shemitah is saying that you can no longer press him for the money when the time would come. But then there's a second version. Yigad diamri, Omer Rav Yehuda, Omer Shmuel, Hamal ve'eschaver el yeser shanim, ein Shemitah misham tosai, that if you lend your friend money for 10 years, the Shemitah, according to this version, the Shemitah does not cancel the loan. Why? Because of the argument that we just made. Afogav the osili deilu, you guys. Even though eventually the loan will be payable, hashda miyel lekvin and beilu, you guys. But as of now, during the Shemitah year, you anyway can't approach your friend. You can't press your friend. The prohibition is to press your friend for a loan that's payable now. If you can't press him anyway, then perhaps Shemitah does not cancel that loan. Go ahead, Bob.
So it would make sense to lend the money for a 10-year period.
That's right.
Because otherwise,
that would avoid the Shemitah altogether. Right. If you extend the loan. So for example, right, if during the Shemitah year you pay a post-dated check for after Shemitah, then Shemitah would not cancel that loan, because a post-dated check is basically saying that you can't collect the money until the date of the check. And if that would be past the Shemitah, then the loan would not be canceled. So we have two versions in the Gemara. If a 10-year loan, a loan that extends beyond Shemitah, is the loan canceled by the Shemitah, or is it not canceled by the Shemitah? And there's no clear resolution in the Gemara. There's a machoikas rishonim, how we paskin. Some people say the loan is canceled, some people say the loan is not canceled. How do we paskin? Says the Rush. The Rush says, and this is a fascinating thing, says the Rush at the end of item Yud Aleph, halacha kalishna basra, we follow the second view, the ein shviyas misham tosai, that Shemitah does not cancel the loan and the loiva has to pay the money. Why? Number one, says the Rush, pashta the mastisim esayel ish nabasra. Number one, because there's a Mishnah there that seemingly says that the loan is not canceled. The second reason, this is the reason I want to focus on, shviyas bizmana zeh is the rabbana. Nowadays, Shemitah is only rabbinic. We'll speak more about this next week. Shemitah nowadays is only rabbinic. V'azlinan l'kula, so we're lenient. Because Shemitah, the mitzvah of Shemitah, is only rabbinic, and we have a suffix whether the mitzvah applies. So what do we normally say in a suffix? Suffix the Rabbanan l'kula. Whenever there's a suffix, whenever there's a doubt, if I'm rabbinically obligated to do something, we're lenient. Had it been a suffix d'oraisa, if it would be a suffix in the Torah, if it would be a suffix in the times of the Beis HaMikdash when Shemitah was biblical, so then suffix d'oraisa l'chumra, we have to be strict. But since it's only a rabbinic mitzvah nowadays, suffix the Rabbanan l'kula. Asks the Beis Yosef, asks, what are we doing? We're saying it's a suffix. It's a doubt, and we're lenient. And we're obligating the loive to pay. Normally, when we have a suffix mamin, we say, Hamoitzi mechaveri olav araya. Normally, if I want to extract money from you, the burden of proof is on me. So if you owe me money, and we have a suffix if the loan was canceled or not, shouldn't we apply the rule of muhsik? Shouldn't we say that possession is 9/10 of the law, and whoever who's holding the money, he has the upper hand, and the burden of proof would be upon me to extract the money? Why do we say that it's only rabbinic, and therefore you have to pay? Why don't we apply the rule that since it's in doubt, you don't have to pay? Says the Beis Yosef that we see from here that we treat a suffix in Shemitah as a suffix iser. We treat it that you owe the money. You owe the money. In other words, the assumption, the presumption is you owe the money. It's just an iser to collect the money. You owe the money, but there's an iser. There's a prohibition to collect the money. It's not a suffix if you owe the money. You owe the money. It's a suffix if there's a prohibition to collect the money. So since it's only a rabbinic prohibition, we rule leniently, and therefore we go back to the status quo that you owe the money. That's what the Beis Yosef says. So this is a very important concept, that when Shemitah comes around, the assumption is that you owe the money. It's a suffix if there's a prohibition to collect. And whenever there's a doubt, we rule leniently. So here's the question. Let's put on our thinking caps. We had a Machlokes Rishonim. How does the cancellation of loans apply? According to the Mordechai and according to the Minchas Chinuch, the loan is canceled automatically. The loan is canceled automatically. According to Rabbi Eliezer Mimitz, according to the Yerayim, you actually require the Malveh to waive the loan to be Meichel the money. Is the loan canceled automatically, or does the Malveh have to physically be Meichel the loan? Says the Beis Yosef, we look at it as if you owe the money and there's just a prohibition to collect, and we rule leniently and you have to pay the money. So let's think this through. How do we understand the Beis Yosef? Why do we understand that it's a suffik isser? So this is what we're saying. If you hold like the Urayim, if you hold that the Torah, it's not an afkata the Malka, the Torah did not cancel the loan, we actually need to hear the Malveh be moichel the money. So if there's a suffik, if the Malveh is required to be moichel the money, then we go back that you owe the money. According to Eliezer Mimitz, the Urayim, we clearly understand what the Beis Yosef is saying. The halacha is that the status quo is that the borrower owes the money. He owes the money. There's a suffix if I have to waive the loan or not, because it was a 10-year loan. So it's a suffix if I have to waive the loan or not. We rule leniently that I don't have to waive the loan. So of course you owe the money, right? Perfect. We understand the Beis Yosef very clearly if we understand it like the Urayim, Rabbi Eliezer Mimitz. However, we'll get to that next week. However, according to the Minchas Chinuch and according to the Mordechai, that it's an afkata de Malka, that the Torah cancels the loan. So, or in this case, the rabbis cancel the loan because the rabbis pattern Shemitah after the Torah. So if the nature of the mitzvah is that the loan is canceled automatically, so shouldn't this be a suffik mammon? Why do we consider it to be a suffik prohibition? We should consider it to be a suffik mammon. We should consider it to be a doubt if you owe the money or not. Because did the Torah cancel the loan, or did the rabbis cancel the loan, or did they not? So how do we understand that it's considered to be a suffik isser? So the Minchas Shlomo, this is Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zatzal, he explains beautifully. He says that even when we understand that the Torah cancels the loan, or in this case, rabbinically, the rabbis cancel the loan, it's patterned after the Torah, the afkata, the malka, the automatic waiving of the loan stems from the prohibition. In other words, the Torah didn't just cancel the loan. The way the Torah canceled the loan was by prohibiting the malveh to collect the loan. Since I'm not allowed to collect the loan, the prohibition is what cancels the loan. It's not an external, some outside force that's waiving the loan. It's the prohibition itself that's waiving the loan. Since I have a mitzvah to say Shamat Ani, since there's a prohibition to collect the loan, the prohibition to collect the loan is itself what cancels the loan. If you have a loan that you're not allowed to collect, it's not a loan. So since the Torah says that you're not allowed to collect this loan, that itself cancels the loan and releases the loiva from the loan. So therefore, going back to the Beis Yosef, even according to the Mordechai and the Minchas Chinuch, that the loan ultimately is canceled on its own, but that's because that's a result of the prohibition of collecting the loan. Since it's a rabbinic doubt if I have a prohibition, so that means we're going to rule that there's no prohibition to collect the loan. Therefore, the mechanism is not there to cancel the loan. So even if we understand that the loan is canceled on its own, it's only canceled on its own as a result of the prohibition. And since the prohibition we're lenient and we don't apply the prohibition, therefore the loan is not canceled. Just to conclude now with another concept, which is food for thought. There's an argument in the Gemara if a shtar sheyesh boi achrayas, a document that has a lien, that I have a lien, So if you don't just owe me the money, but I actually have a lien, I have a mortgage against your house. So the house is sort of collateral on the loan. So there's a machlokes in the Gemara if Shemitah applies to such a loan, because on the one hand, it's a loan, so Shemitah should cancel the loan. On the other hand, since I have such a strong collateral, I have a mortgage, a lien on your house, perhaps it's already considered like I collected it already. It's more than just an ordinary debt. I already have the rights to collect the loan. I can go and seize your house. So at first, Rabbi Yochanan said that because I have a mortgage on your home, that's more than a regular loan. It's as if I have something already from you, and Shemitah doesn't cancel. But at the end, Rabbi Yochanan wasn't sure, and Rabbi Yochanan said that the loan is canceled. They asked Rabbi Yochanan, but didn't you say that the loan is not canceled? Rabbi Yochanan said, I have a doubt. I'm not sure. So because I'm not sure, I have to rule in favor of the loive, and I have to cancel the loan. So the obvious question is, in this case, we see that we say when in doubt, we say the loan is canceled. We leave the money by the loive. Why is this different than the rush that when we had a doubt if Shemitah applies, we ruled in favor of the malve that you can collect the loan? And over here we're saying that since we're in doubt, you can't collect, and we rule in favor of the loive. When do we rule in favor of the borrower and we exempt him and we cancel? And when do we rule in favor of the malve and we allow the malve to collect? So again, Shlomo Zalman Orbach says a beautiful distinction between these two cases. In the case of the Gemara in Makos, where the question was, does Shemitah apply to a 10-year loan? That was a suffix in the laws of Shemitah. If it's a suffix in the laws of Shemitah, we rule leniently. I don't have to, I'm not under the prohibition, and I'm allowed to collect. Over here, the suffix is not in the law of Shemitah. It's definitely Shemitah. The question is a money matter question. To what extent is a mortgage in the domain of the malve? Is the malve considered the muchzik, or is the loive considered the muchzik? This is really, objectively, a monetary question. It's not rooted in the laws of Shemitah. It's rooted in the laws of money. When I have a loan, that I have a mortgage on your home, is that considered a loan, or is it stronger than a loan? Not right? Sure. It's a monetary question. Over there, when it's a monetary question, we go back to the rules of money and we rule in favor of the one in possession. Who's in possession of the home? Who's in possession of the loan, of the money? The loive, the borrower. And therefore, in this case, we have to rule in favor of the loive, and we have to cancel the loan. So when the suffix is rooted in the nature of the prohibition, am I allowed to collect this loan or not? So we rule leniently, and I'm allowed to collect. But if the suffix objectively is not in the laws of Shemitah, the suffix is in the laws of how we view the money, in that case, we rule leniently in favor of the loiv, in favor of the borrower, the one who's in possession of the money. So this is some of the ideas of how the loan is canceled in Shemitah. Is it merely a mitzvah to forgive the loan? Is the loan automatically waived by the Torah? How do we rule in cases of doubt? And then we also mentioned at the beginning of this year that with all of this having been said, there's still a mitzvah derabbanan for the loive to gift the money back to the malve anyway. And to the extent, we don't paskin like Rashi, but Rashi even authorizes the malve to force, to apply pressure on the loive to gift the money back. The other Rishonim and Shulchan Aruch, we don't paskin that way, but says Rav Moshe Feinstein, it definitely is a mitzvah derabbanan for the loive to pay the money back anyway as a gift, but there wouldn't be any recourse according to the Rush, according to Halacha, to actually get the money. There would be you can be upset about it that he's not returning the money, like Rabba was upset, but there wouldn't be any recourse to actually get the money. But the big question is, how is the loan canceled? Is the loan canceled automatically, or is the loan canceled because you have to actually say it? That's a question between the Rishonim, and we paskin that the loan is canceled automatically. Okay, Yasha Koyach, everybody.
Yasha Koyach, that was really...